hiker says he's found Steve Fawcett's pilot certificate. The GAO says the FAA has no authority to auction slots. And a former airline exec takes a plea deal in a price-fixing case. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 2, 2008. In what could be a significant development regarding the mysterious disappearance of adventurer Steve Fawcett, authorities announced yesterday a hiker found three pieces of identification and other items that may have belonged to the missing pilot along a trail near Mammoth Lakes, California. The Associated Press reports Preston Morrow came across an FAA identification card, as well as a pilot's license and an unspecified third form of ID, all bearing Fawcett's name, and $1,005 in cash in a bush off the trail on Monday. Mammoth Lakes is about 140 miles southeast of Reno, well south of the focus of previous searches. Fawcett disappeared September 3, 2007, and was declared legally dead in February at the request of his widow, Peggy. Officials say the items Morrow found appear authentic and will be examined further. If they are real, that could mean one of at least two things. Either they're evidence of a nearby crash site, or, if you're a conspiracy theorist, they could have been planted by an adventurer who wanted to fake his own death. We'll keep you updated as we learn more. Follow the intrigue on aero-news.net. The U.S. Congress's Government Accountability Office has ruled in favor of airlines and airports and against the FAA, saying the agency does not have the authority to auction slots at busy Northeast airports. But the Associated Press reports it's not clear if there will be any immediate effect. GAO General Counsel Gary Keplinger's opinion was included in a letter to slot opponents. Quote, "We conclude that FAA may not auction slots under its property disposition authority, user fee authority, or any other authority, and thus also may not retain or use proceeds of any such auctions," unquote. Keplinger also noted the FAA's decision to claim airspace as its property marks the first time the agency has taken that position in 40 years, and further says it's a direct contradiction of FAA bylaws. It became immediately clear that the FAA intends to test the issue further. The agency reacted to the news by calling off its own stay of a test auction of slots at Newark Liberty International Airport. That means it may be planning to move forward with the test. Not surprisingly, yesterday, two of the most vocal opponents of DOT's auction plan applauded the GAO ruling. The Airports Council International North America, representing airports, and the Air Transport Association, representing airlines, had accused the government of unlawfully usurping the proprietary right of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey in conducting the auctions of two landing slots formerly used by now bankrupt EOS Airlines. Greg Principato, president of ACINA, said, quote, "FAA should focus on working collaboratively with the Port Authority to develop and implement a reasonable and effective program to reduce passenger delays and congestion," unquote. James May, president and CEO of the Air Transport Association, concurred, quote, "We urge the FAA to put their focus and attention on increasing capacity and airspace redesign to make progress in actually reducing delays," unquote. The U.S. Department of Justice says a British citizen and former executive of British Airways World Cargo has taken a plea deal, which includes prison time, for participating in a conspiracy to fix rates for international air cargo shipments. According to the charges filed in U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia, Keith Packer, former commercial general manager for British Airways World Cargo, and his fellow conspirators engaged in a conspiracy to fix the air cargo rates charged to customers for international air shipments, including to and from the U.S., in violation of the Sherman Act. Under the plea agreement, which is subject to court approval, Packer has agreed to serve 8 months in jail, pay a $20,000 criminal fine, and cooperate with the department's ongoing investigation. According to the charges, Packer and others engaged in a price-fixing conspiracy from as early as March 2002 through at least February 14, 2006. Nine air cargo companies have already pleaded guilty to roles in the price-fixing scheme and paid fines totaling more than $1 billion. Up next on ANN, Boeing loses another Air Force tanker contract. U.S. Airways pilots observe 3 years of pilot segregation. And the Kennedy Space Center gets a new director. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 2nd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Tanker must be becoming a dirty word at Boeing by now, as the company regroups for its third try to win the U.S. Air Force's KCX contract for a new aerial tanker to replace the old KC-135. The U.S. Court of Federal Claims has overturned an earlier contract awarded to Boeing to maintain the old tankers. Alabama Aircraft Industries had filed suit against the U.S. Air Force and Boeing, alleging the service improperly awarded Boeing a $1.1 billion maintenance contract to service the aging fleet of Stratotankers. Government regulators twice sided with AAI, but denied the company's third protest in June, so the company lawyered up and went to court. AAI says the ruling by the court forces the Air Force to, quote, resolicit the procurement and take the necessary steps in a new solicitation to address explicitly the role of an ever-aging KC-135 fleet on the PDM to be performed, unquote. The KC-135 is slated to remain a part of the fleet through 2040, when the fleet will average about 80 years old, so maintenance is going to be a big deal. September 27th marked 3 years of attempts to merge the two pilot workforces involved in the takeover of U.S. Airways by America West. The U.S. Airline Pilots Association seized on the anniversary to criticize airline management for failing to achieve the synergies promised shareholders by failing to get the two groups integrated. The U.S. APA was formed when pilots who'd worked for the old pre-merger U.S. Airways angrily decertified the Airline Pilots Association as their official representation earlier this year. ALPA also represented America West pilots before the takeover, and the U.S. Airways pilots were outraged by what they perceived as ALPA's favoritism toward the America West side in agreeing to terms to combine the pilot workforces. So today, the two pilot groups are still working under their old collective bargaining agreements, which means they have different pay and benefits, can't fly each other's planes, and can't work on crews with members of the other group. U.S. APA President Stephen Bradford blames management. Quote, what the Delta and Northwest managements did in just a couple of months, U.S. Airways management hasn't been able to do in over 3 years. Management's inability to complete the merger, coupled with their apparent focus on short-term, quick-return management philosophies, is costing our company in a big way, unquote. USAPA says for the first 6 months of 2008, U.S. Airways ranks 18th out of 19 on DOT's consumer complaint list. The union calls that a sobering change from the airline's top rankings in years prior to the merger. NASA announced on Tuesday that William Parsons, director of the John F. Kennedy Space Center in Florida, is leaving the agency in a couple weeks to pursue opportunities in the private sector. Parsons will be succeeded by former astronaut Robert Cabana, currently director of NASA's John C. Stennis Space Center in Mississippi. Cabana is a native of Minnesota. He graduated the U.S. Naval Academy in 1971 with a Bachelor's of Science in Mathematics and was commissioned as an officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. Cabana is a distinguished graduate of the U.S. Naval Test Pilot School and has logged over 7,000 hours in 36 different aircraft. He's also flown 4 shuttle missions, served as deputy director of Johnson, and held other positions within NASA. Administrator Michael Griffin says, quote, Bob has seen it all and done it all in human spaceflight and done it with an open, collaborative style. There is just no better teammate. He'll be a terrific successor to Bill Parsons as director of KSC, unquote. In the U.S., federal threats to impose oppressive security measures at small general aviation airports are generally viewed as a solution looking for a problem. But in Mexico, authorities are battling a big problem, an epidemic of small aircraft thefts, as drug rings steal planes to get cocaine north to the U.S. Mexican media report the army there has confiscated 245 small planes and helicopters from drug runners just since November of last year. Now, Reuters is reporting that about 20 armed men stole five small planes from a private airstrip in the northwestern Mexican state of Sinaloa on Tuesday. Emma Quiroz of the government's anti-organized crime operations says the invaders overpowered a police officer, seized his gun, tied him up, topped off the planes with fuel, and took off. The planes had been stored in a hangar since being grounded earlier this year by the Army, which claimed they presented irregularities that violated civil aviation and airport laws. Quiroz's office could not be sure Tuesday's incident was drug-related, but said it was investigating whether any authorities had been complicit and was, quote, taking the necessary actions to determine the whereabouts of these airplanes and the criminals who took part in the robbery, unquote. Still ahead, Cirrus Design names a new VP. A former space tourist books his second Soyuz trip. And here's the real reason your mom wanted you to wear clean underwear when you went traveling. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Cirrus Design announced late Tuesday it has appointed Patrick Waddick as Executive Vice President of Operations. Waddick has served as Senior VP of Engineering at Cirrus since 2005. Chairman and CEO Alan Klapmeyer noted, quote, Patrick has been instrumental in the design, development, and certification of the SR-20 and SR-22, and ongoing innovation and evolution of the SR product line. I am confident that Patrick's knowledge and experience will greatly contribute to the company's continued success, unquote. Waddick holds a B.S. in engineering from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and has been with Cirrus since 1988. He participated in the VK-30 program as chief engineer, led the engineering team through the design and construction of the ST-50 turboprop as engineering manager and later as director of engineering, and led the development and certification of the SR-20 and SR-22. Waddick has been an active private pilot since 1988 and holds an instrument rating. Global space tourism provider Space Adventures announced on Tuesday that Dr. Charles Simonyi, Ph.D., intends to train with the Soyuz TMA-14 crew in preparation for a spring mission to the International Space Station. It'll be his second trip as a space tourist in 2 years, having become famous for taking gourmet cuisine with him on his flight in the spring of 2007. Eric Anderson, president and CEO of Space Adventures, finds significance in Simonyi's second flight, quote, having a repeat orbital client demonstrates to the world that participating in a space mission is truly a magnificent and awe-inspiring experience. It is also an excellent example that the marketplace is even larger than previously anticipated because of the potential occurrence of clients who fly on multiple occasions, unquote. Space Adventures' sixth orbital spaceflight client, Richard Garriott, son of NASA astronaut Owen Garriott, is currently scheduled to launch to the International Space Station on October 12th, if you're interested, the price tag is $20 million a trip. NextTent Aerospace announced this week it plans to accelerate deliveries of the NextTent 400 NXT into the first quarter of 2010. In addition, NextTent intends to add the Rockwell Collins Venue high-definition cabin management system to the list of available options. CEO Ken Ricci commented, quote, We're extremely pleased to announce the shortened delivery time for both the serialized production and retrofit 400 NXT programs. The interest we have received in the program has been great, and we're excited to be able to deliver the product sooner than planned to our customers, unquote. The Nextent 400 NXT is designed to increase the speed and capabilities of the Hawker Beachjet 400A and 400XP. The upgrade includes replacement of the original Pratt & Whitney JT15D engines with new fuel-efficient Williams International FJ443AP computer-controlled engines, and adds Rockwell Collins ProLine 21 avionics. Nextent says the 400 NXT performance upgrades will increase the range of a standard beach jet from 1,180 nautical miles to over 2,000, while cutting fuel consumption 27%. The company says the shortened delivery schedule is due in part to shorter lead times for key components. In addition to retrofits to customers' planes, complete remanufactured aircraft will be available for under $5 million and will be available with various cabin configurations and entertainment options. And finally, if you suffer from that common nightmare that you're suddenly standing in front of a crowd in your underwear, you may want to turn away for a moment. The Tennessean newspaper reports a popular country singer will have material for a new song after his encounter with the Transportation Security Administration. Jimmy Wayne was a little punchy at the end of a road trip to promote his number one hit and new CD, Do You Believe Me Now? He says that after something in his shorts kept setting off the metal detector at an unnamed California airport, a screener told him to remove whatever was in his shorts. But for some reason, in his road-weary state, he thought he'd heard an instruction to remove his shorts. He said he didn't think much about it. Quote, I think had I been in some tidy whities, it wouldn't have happened, but it was boxers. I thought, it's not a big deal. They send a sales paper out every week that has some guy standing there in his boxers. No one's offended by that. But that airport was. I thought it was going to shut down. People started yelling. It was a huge scene. Police were running through the airport, and TSA officers were running toward me, and I'm like, what? Unquote. Police arrived, and Jimmy says he complied with a humongous officer who yelled at him to put his hands behind his back. For 25 minutes, he stood there in handcuffs and his underwear, being interrogated. Fortunately for Jimmy, he's had other life experiences which prepared him for the ordeal. Quote, I'm glad they didn't move me to a back room because you hear those horror stories about getting smacked around. At least you got 300 witnesses. I started thinking about the times I worked at the prison, and I used to have to put handcuffs on convicts. It's just one of those things. You remain calm, and you don't give them a reason to throw you on the floor, unquote. In the end, all was well. Jimmy even caught his plane. He says his mom laughed till she hurt when he told her the story on the phone. But if authorities think he's learned his lesson, they might be in for a surprise. Quote, I'd do it again if I could hear my mom laugh like that again, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Mike Whaley, a student pilot and activist on behalf of Volcaria Airport on the Florida Space Coast. Brevard County Commissioners just disbanded the Airport Advisory Board, and Mike gives us some background. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.